RCR with Paul Brennan.
If you've been following RCR for a while, you may be aware that we have chatted with Erica Harvey of Lobby for Good in Tauranga about the Marine Precinct deal. This is where ratepayers are responsible for over $30 million in upgrades for the Marine Precinct, which was sold to a private owner for only $14 million. And then there was the case of a property in Devonport Road. We thought we'd get an update on the Marine Precinct deal. There was a court hearing in the Tauranga High Court last week, and Erica Harvey is back with us to tell us the latest on this. Erica, welcome back to RCR. Thanks for coming back on.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me back.
This just keeps on rolling along, this one, doesn't it? How many months now are we through this? About 8 or 9 since we started talking about it?
Yeah, I have to, and probably, and for me, it's been 10 years. So it's a long journey, this Marine Precinct saga.
Okay, just to remind everybody that this is the Marine Precinct at Sulphur Point. It was sold to Sam Rofe, who wanted to develop it as a super yacht destination, which sounds all really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And of course, the commercial boat operators, I'm thinking back to our conversations, who based their businesses within the precinct, were dismayed, fair to say. And this all happened under the commissioners before the local body elections in July. Now you have a new mayor, new council. Mahi Drysdale, of course, is the mayor. And since then, there's been, I think I remember us talking about maybe something to the SFO, the Serious Fraud Office. Where's that? Is that grinding through?
Yeah, so we submitted a letter to the SFO asking them to investigate Tauranga City Council for the Marine Precinct sale, but then also subsequent property sales that we've also seen where we've identified a pattern. They've kind of come back to me, which highlights that we likely need a criminal lawyer to help us really target those pieces of legislation to get the SFO involved. So this is still a work in progress to get them on side.
Though they had a go at Winston without much a few years ago, and he keeps reminding us of that. So is it somehow different, was it?
It might feel, well, for me, I guess it kind of feels that way, not knowing everything about his case, but it sure doesn't seem that easy to get them involved.
Okay. Now, also very recently, a week or so ago in the High Court in Tauranga, an injunction was granted against the sale. Is that correct?
Yeah, so an interim injunction was granted, and on the 25th of February, we went to the High Court to see what the ruling would be. And the judge at the end of that case reserved his decision, and so we're still awaiting that decision of what will happen. We were told that a imminent decision was probably going to happen on Friday, and that didn't happen. So yeah, we're still waiting to see what the judge has decided on this.
And the decision from the judge is what? That the sale isn't legit, something like that?
We don't know yet. We're waiting for him to come back to tell us what his decision is. He couldn't make a decision on the day, so he's asked for more time to review all of the information.
Want to play this clip. It's the mayor of Tauranga, and I think this was recorded back in October last year. Have a listen to this, everybody, and we'll get your reaction.
You know, we'll be completely upfront with you. We're not happy about the Marine Precinct sale. You know, it's a shit deal.
Thank you.
I said real.
Well, it's a shit deal. We've inherited it.
Okay, so it's, excuse the French, it's a shit deal. They inherited it. He doesn't like it, but he's not stopping it.
Yeah, I think that's been the interesting part about this is when we, so back in the 16th of October, we went to this meeting, and this was before our public forum discussion, right? And I had told the city council I was going to be recording that meeting and sending it out to fishermen so that everyone knew what the discussion was. And I had actually forgotten about this recording until after the court date. And then when I've gone back to listen to it, as it's been resent back to me, I thought, oh my God, this is crazy that, you know, back then they were saying, look, if we could get out of it, we would. And, you know, subsequently since that time, there's been clauses in the sale and purchase agreement that highlight that if an injunction is filed that the council could have gotten out of it, they have chosen not to get out of that, which is their right to do that. So I guess the question is, were they just saying something to us in a private room, and then it's different when it's out in public, or has something changed, or it just seems to be so different from October to now?
Yeah, I've got a couple of clauses here. If at any time before the settlement date an injunction proceeding is issued or any court order granted preventing the sale and or registration of a transfer in pursuance of this agreement, the vendor will be entitled by notice in writing to immediately cancel this agreement. That's what you're just talking about there.
That's right.
And if as a result of a breach of this agreement or of the independent agreement, one of them is terminated or rescinded prior to the settlement, then this agreement and the interdependent agreement shall be deemed to be terminated or rescinded at the same time. So they've got levers they can pull to eject from this quite easily.
Yeah, they would. And those contracts, there's two different sales that has happened. One is they sold Vessel Works, which is the business that manages the Marine Precinct, and then they sold the land. And so those clauses, one is on the land agreement and one is on Vessel Works. So if one is canceled, if there's an injunction filed and one of those is deemed whatever you just read, the other one then also becomes null and void.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the relationship you've had with counsel over this, access to documents, details, etc.? What have you been able to see? And I presume that we would all assume that transparency is everything here. So,
yeah.
Can you describe that experience?
Yeah, so the entire experience from filing LAGOIMAs, which is Local Government Official Information Act requests, to even my own Privacy Act request, which is 20 days. So we filed a Privacy Act request back, I think, November 2024, and they've got 20 days to give us that. And what we found out was there were 6,000 documents that referenced my name by the City Council.
Your which, name?
Yeah.
6,000?
6,000.
Wow.
And over 1,000. I believe were from 2023 and 2024. And the interesting thing about that was in 2023, I had a baby, so I was on maternity leave. And I thought that everything was going well with the Marine Precinct because we had an advisory group, we were working with the council. So we all were shocked to find out it was sold and nobody knew about it. So to find out there were 1,000 documents that referenced me by name during that period, you know, was concerning because I thought, are they saying hide this? Like, you know, who knows what that could be in there? So we've been trying to get them. And subsequently on Friday, when we found out that the judge had made a decision and it would likely be announced that Friday, oddly enough, I got Kirsten as our lawyer from KM Law, and she got a USB courier to her first thing Friday morning. And inside was a USB full of those documents from 2023 and I think 2022, 2023. So just seemed like a coincidental timing that now we get them. So we're going through them now. And, you know, there's been some interesting finds in there, to say the least.
Yeah, the timing of you getting them. So they were reacting to kind of the heat they were feeling at the time. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I feel like they could have released them earlier. I just found it to be coincidental that the day that the judge had likely made his decision was the day that I finally got them, because it would be too late for me to use anything.
Okay.
Kind of,
yeah.
How I thought it was coincidental.
So like a tactic. In a way,
I mean, could be. It seems that everything's been a tactic. We asked for a conflicts of interest document to view it. We were told that they couldn't email it to us. We had to go to the library to view it. We weren't able to use or take a photo of it. And then we went there the first time, it wasn't there. So the second time we brought our elected MP, Sam Uffendale, with us, because it starts to just look crazy. And he went with us where we had to sit in the library in the council library, ask for this conflict of interest document. And we sit there thinking, what kind of bombshell is this going to be? We can't even take a photo. And it was all redacted. And
okay.
So we're like, wait, so what is this? And now, and this was over those, the sale 160 to 176 Devonport Road. That was the conflict of interest document we were looking at. Now, subsequently, the council have now finally discussed 160 to 176 Devonport Road. And now they have released that highly redacted conflict of interest document. But it's just, everything has just been odd. And it's been like LAGOIMAs are heavily redacted. I've gone back to the ombudsman. So we've got some issues there. We're still following up on stuff. The access to information has been very difficult and quite frustrating, to be honest.
We sought comment from Mahi Drysdale, and we received the following comment from Tauranga City Council General Manager of Strategy, Growth and Governance, Christine Jones. Council has sought legal advice and is represented in respect of the injunction and the agreement. As this matter is subject to legal proceedings, it would not be appropriate for the council to make any further comment at this time. That's your standard kind of reply in these cases.
Yeah. Like this. And I mean, I guess that's, you know, smart. We'll see what happens, what the judge decides. But my point is, when is this about making sure that the public actually understand kind of the level of involvement that the council had? Because one thing I'm reading in the newspaper says one thing, and we're seeing a totally different side to it. Back in 2019, there was an article about fishermen being pushed out of the region again for super yachts. So there's clearly a pattern of things and choices that seem to keep popping up no matter what the public say. You can look at the museum and the referendum that voted no, and now we have a $306 million museum. Consultation, which came out in the court hearing, which I guess I can't talk about, but I can't wait till we find out, because what I learned about consultation and local government, I think for all of us that sat there, we were shocked to hear, which is only something you would hear if you attended a court hearing, I'm assuming.
The curious thing for Mahi Drysdale to say that the council wasn't a party to the court case. You say official court documents list Tauranga City Council as the main respondent.
Yeah, well, that was the sign on the door that I walked into of the High Court. It was like Pacific 7 versus Tauranga City Council and Co. So I think that's the, you know, what does not a party actually mean in this context? It just feels like word salad, you know? And from a ratepayer's perspective, I mean, I think they want to know, is the council involved or not? And I attended court. I assumed that they were involved the way that, you know, but I'm confused now.
I mean, there must be something going on here, eh?
I mean,
right?
Yeah. So something's going on. Everyone seems to know it. No one really wants to say anything.
The precinct is one thing, but surely your mind wanders a bit in these cases. Is that something that rips the Band-Aid off an even bigger problem?
So this is a question. So what we've done is the Marine Precinct's one thing. You put that to the side. It's in court. We'll see what happens. But what we uncovered when we brought on KM Law as our legal advisor with Kirsten is that we uncovered, I think, four or five other property sales that happened under the commission. And so I've got a lot of questions around the commission and why these decisions were actually made. And what they show is a pattern. It shows that we are, as a city council, we seem to be selling property at an undervalue, and then we're buying strategic assets at an overinflated cost. So ratepayers are losing on both ends. And that seems to be the pattern that we're seeing, right? And there's a lot of same people. I think I now understand exactly how it all works. I've been able to draw it on a diagram to someone else. And so they're kind of like, oh my God. There's a lot of things going on. I think what it really-
Would that explain the resistance at all costs to not get involved?
100%.
In this, because they know where it leads potentially.
Well, look, I have a youth charity as well, right? Youth Voices Action. And I have an email that I got in that privacy request document that concerns me because it raises the question about whether challenging council decisions leads to retaliation based on this email that I have. And I will be reaching out to this person for a coffee to see exactly what they meant when they sent this message. But people don't want to get involved. I mean, I have people stopping me on the street saying the same thing. Everyone knows this happens, but everyone's too afraid to stand up because of the consequences. And they're right. If you don't have a lot of money, A, you can't even file an interim injunction on any sale. That's like $250,000, I think, is what is the bill for Sean at the moment already. And then you think if we appeal that, how much is that going to be? And if you lose, then you may have to pay a seven-figure loss to the people who actually were going to buy it.
Well, and this doesn't work, does it?
Well, no,
this is
because
not justice. This is nowhere near justice. No.
And I know that people laugh when they say, like, Americans sue for everything. But I tell you what, the reason that I think in New Zealand, and I'm not saying it should happen the same, but you are at no loss for pro bono lawyers. Lawyers will take anything they can because they usually make their money off of a win, a percentage of that win. Whereas in this situation, I have seen many, many examples where people deserve to have a lawyer, but they couldn't afford it. It's just way too much money. The average person can't. And that's why we constantly see these same sort of patterns where very wealthy people seem to get away with everything. And those who are working really hard to put food on the table seem to come out last, or they have to give up. You just can't afford the fight.
And, in your dealings with the new mayor, we've chatted to him a few times. Seems like a nice enough guy. Obviously, he's an Olympic champion, so he can summon the energy for things when he needs to, and he can win.
Yeah.
He was very timid on fluoridation, very timid. The Whangarei mayor completely came in and stole the potential.
Which I think is weird because he did campaign on fluoride, saying that he would vote against it.
Yeah, but he wouldn't, you know, give the finger to the Director General of Health and become a hero, because he would have.
Yeah.
You know, that would have ensured an election win next time around. But he's very light on this as well. Do you think that tells us something about him?
Yeah, well, I think Mayor Drysdale is a lovely guy. I think he's very nice. Every time I've met him, he's just been a very nice, warm, very tall guy, you know? Yeah. But I do think that sometimes politics, it depends on where you come from, right? There's been rumors around the elected members that we have. Doug Owens came out publicly on Facebook saying that Mahe Drysdale and some other elected members were funded by the Urban Task Force. And so there's all this kind of stuff wondering, which, you know, our developers, do they have like a sway in the council? And, you know, are they actually representing everyone? Because in a closed room, it seems that everyone's like, hey, this isn't right. You know, if we had a way to get out of this, we would. And then now it's public. It's like, oh, nah, you know, and it's almost like, oh, it's not us. Like we, you know, we're not a party to that, or, you know.
But not doing anything, not being effectual.
No. And I think, you know, over the 10 years that I've been working with and representing small businesses who didn't have a voice in the Marine Precinct, there has been a pattern that has been the same. And it has been, we have been in box ticking exercises, thinking that we're working together collaboratively. But in the background, what it seems to say is that they're still doing what they were always planning.
Well, that's called a scam. That's a scam.
And that's why I want to see what the SFO says, because I feel like this is scammy. And I just want to know, are we correct?
Okay, so what happens next? You're waiting for that judge's decision, right?
Yeah, we're waiting for the judge's decision. I know that the Auditor General is also waiting on the judge's decision, as are other, you know, ministerial and parliamentary, I guess, services. Everyone's kind of waiting to see what is the judge going to say. And so no matter which way that this case goes, because I don't, you know, I think the hard thing with law, as I'm learning this, is that, you know, they're not judging, is this ethically right? Is it morally right? You know, this is just based on, in my opinion, were we able to tick the right boxes for us to be able to do what we were going to do? And so I guess that's what we're going to see. Have they ticked all the boxes that they thought they had?
And just a quick comment, you had your MP there, Sam Uffendall, right? Is that?
Yeah.
And well, there's been a bit of coverage of him. Surely, being a National Party figure, and the head of the commissioners was a former National Party cabinet minister with roots deep into the National Party and everything that brings. Yeah. How come he doesn't know anything about it?
Well, I think he came in at a different time too. I think on a by-election, if I recall, when Simon Bridges left. But also, Ann Tully was appointed by the Labour Party. And so this is kind of what Sam's also trying to look into, too. I mean, he's not a minister and he's not.
Wait on, do you think that there's any connection between the Labour Party people who appointed this commission? Because we've seen what's happening with some of the funding agencies in the United States and how they've been basically strip mined.
Yeah.
Is there any question of any of the money involved in this finding its way to pockets that shouldn't be finding its
way? It's a really good question, Paul.
Because ultimately, why are people doing things?
And I think that is the question that we're all trying to answer. Why are they doing things? And how are they being done? Like, there are, yeah. I mean, look, we have a lot more questions than we have answers, but I can say that during the, when our council actually was gone and we got commissioners put in, I would say that that was the absolute moment that democracy died. And it seemed that everything that the city wanted kind of went by the wayside. And suddenly we've just charged forward with all.
And wouldn't that be the moment that you can take advantage of that?
That's what I would think. I'm looking into, Ann Tully, who was the chairperson of Tauranga City Council, is the chairperson of Transparency International. And these deals we're seeing were anything but transparent. So tell me, Paul,
what?
How did she not only get that job, but how is she still in that job, still talking about transparency, when we're all in Tauranga wondering where the heck is the transparency and who is held accountable for all of these crazy deals we're seeing?
And finally, what is the state of the Marine Precinct at the moment? Is it still operating as it used to in the meantime?
Yeah, at the moment it is. And I think everyone's just waiting to see because, you know, depending on what the judge says, this the new owners will take control as soon, you know, if it does side with them immediately. And then that also is of concern to people because, that's, they'll be setting the prices. And I can assume that we won't be, big fans about, all of us trying to try to save, from being displaced. The council said there'll be places for them to go, but they haven't built anything. And they've got a 3-year lease on what we currently have to operate. If nothing's built, the council will not guarantee we have anywhere to go, which is why we've fought on the displacement.
And where are all the super yacht owners lining up to come all this way to get their work done at Sulphur Point in Tauranga, realistically, really?
Well, the interesting thing is right now, super yachts can come. So it's supposed to be for super yachts and work.
Okay. Well, why aren't they? Are they here in huge numbers?
No, they're not, which is why we're saying, what is this deal? The numbers that we saw, they've based it off of the America's Cup is the numbers that they've given to do.
No one's even interested in the America's Cup anymore.
I don't know. Look, makes you feel, nothing really adds up.
Okay, great to catch up with you, Erica Harvey, Lobby for Good Tauranga. What a fascinating situation, peeling back the layers on the onion. Hey? That's what it feels like.
Yeah, once this court decision's up, have me back and let's have a real talk about what's going on.
What if they say, yep, it's all good, go with it?
Yeah, I mean, if they say...
That could happen.
It could happen very well. And if that happens, we'll deal with it when it comes. I mean, obviously, we... unless someone wants to come in and bankroll the fight, we just won't be able to. So, yeah.
Oh, well, it'll be up to the people of Tauranga to take to the streets then, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Good luck with that.
Hey, thanks.
All right, Erica Harvey, Lobby for Good. Thanks for coming back on RCR.
Thank you.